you all right?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened?
I don't know, something on the mic is kind of pointy.
Poked you?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Interman Show, a podcast by men for men. Oh, we're good still. Cool. Welcome to the Interman Show, a podcast by a man for men. If you're a new listener, welcome. If not, thank you for coming back and joining in our conversation. The Interman Show is dedicated to helping men solve their problems, starting with their mental health and expanding outwards. Accountability, ownership, self-sufficiency are just some of the things we promote at the IMP. So if you're ready to take your personal development to new levels and become the best father, husband, son, friend, and community leader you can be, this is the show for you. As always, this episode of the Interman Show is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is a beard grooming essentials online store based out of Vancouver, BC. Head over to The Beard Struggle today and check out their entire list of products. They have shampoos, conditioners, oils, balms, combs, and bags. The website is www.thebeardstruggle.com and use discount code INTERMAN for 15% off your next purchase. That's INNERMAN for 15% off your next purchase.
You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/TheIntermanProject. Also on Instagram at InnermanYXH, as well as Twitter at InnermanYXH. The Interman Project Foundation is proud to announce the Unmasked Masculinity peer-led group sessions are now being held in Calgary, Alberta. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can join Anthony Hart and Shane Smith at the Scarborough United Church. This is a great opportunity to discuss any mental health concerns you may have, connect with community resources, or simply connect with other men. If you are looking for more information, you can send us an email at intermanyxh@gmail.com.
CBD North uses only the best all-natural ingredients and uses third-party lab tests to ensure their products meet the standards that all Canadians deserve. Based in Vancouver, BC, their team of experts are ready to ship to any city, town, village, hockey rink, or summer cottage in Canada within 2 to 5 business days. To show their commitment to fellow Canadians, they created the very first ever CBD assistance program in Canada. For those in need, they are providing 45% off discount of all full price orders. Whether you're receiving COVID relief funds, CRB, CERB, EI, post-secondary students, persons on long-term disabilities, persons of low-income households, active military personnel, military veterans, first responders, including firemen, police officers, and EMTs, or if you're a senior over 65, they have oils, creams, gummies, and even products for your dog. This is not a paid advertisement. This is us supporting an amazing cause. Skylar Roth, who's been kicking ass, by the way, is running across Canada this summer, raising awareness for mental health. And for the next 6 months, they're doing a fundraising each week. And at the end of each month, $5 per sale will be donated to Miles for Smiles, as they are also matching $1,000 in total donations. Check out CBD North on Instagram at Wellness, North Wellness CBD. Sorry, that's at North Wellness CBD. And check out Skylar's Instagram, Miles for Smiles Canada. Again, this is an amazing cause, and we at the Interman Project Foundation cannot be more pumped for this amazing inspirational event.
Also, a huge shout out to the great individuals over at Myrtle and May, and a huge shout out to Tasha Chouinard for designing these mental health ribbons that are absolutely adorable. We appreciate the love and donations. Make sure to follow Myrtle and May on Instagram at Myrtle and May. Oh, Brandon's book. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but you guys can go find Brandon's book at authorhodel.com. You can also go on to Amazon and punch in Talking to Myself by Brandon Hodel, or you can search a Jason Long story.
Yeah, does he have it on the Kindle yet?
I believe both are on the Kindle now.
I'm not 100% sure. I know, obviously, Popular Monster is, but I'm not 100% sure about his new one.
So. Yeah, and shout out to Brandon. Thank you for the kind message, Brandon, if you're listening, for writing in my personalized book there. I really appreciate that. A few things I want to touch on. Guys, if you're enjoying the content that Shane and I are promoting, are creating, and the topics we're talking about, leave us a review. Especially on Apple Podcasts. That's how we get promoted. Share, like, subscribe, the whole nine yards. You guys know what to do. Today's a Q&A podcast. We got a few things to touch on here today. But first and foremost, how's Peer been, man?
Peer is good. As always, we go over our goals and everything like that. And
yeah, you've been doing a lot of goal setting.
Yeah, that's our main focus, I think, for the Peer. That I like to talk about that kind of stuff because it's so important. It's so important. And I like to see guys crush their goals and then create new ones and be excited to actually do it.
Totally.
And I've realized for myself as my goals are interchangeable and they keep running. I keep getting many different ones as the weeks come through.
Totally.
I still crush the goals that I have, but I like to keep it spicy for myself to keep it interesting and to keep me motivated to keep going and doing different things.
Well, it holds you accountable, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And how are the guys receiving that?
You know, they don't, they really respond well. when I remember their goals, they really like that I, you know, listen and I pay attention and I keep them accountable.
Right.
Because it, as much as it's for us to say, keep yourself accountable, and it's always nice to have someone in the rear view kind of kicking you in the ass and be like, hey, I remember what you said. So, I mean, if you can't keep yourself accountable, I'll help you. I'll give you that push and,
totally.
You know, get you in the right direction. And, you know, we've had some great conversations again tonight, and people are actually working towards their goals.
That's
they
awesome.
Have plans set out and they're doing it.
Right.
So we have a lot of guys that are in the hurry up and wait stage now, which is unfortunate, but that's life, and that's when it comes to long-term goals. That's expected.
So now that they're in the hurry up and wait stage, you know, they've accomplished some smaller goals. They're you know, shooting for that medium to long-term goal now. And like you said, hurry up and wait. It's about systems now, right? It's
yeah.
about implementing the right system. What did you learn? What
yeah.
can you take away? What can you add? You know, those are the conversations to have. In my peer, we do, basically, we do like a check-in.
Mm-hmm.
We introduce ourselves if there's any new people. If not, we just do a quick roundabout, how everybody's doing, check-in, good, bad, ugly, that type
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
And then we get into, it depends on the topic, but basically it's an open roundtable discussion of what we want to talk about.
Right.
And the topic that came up was being around toxic people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, what if their family, Dylan? You know, what if their, you know, fathers or
have
brothers?
Same sisters, conversation today.
Right. So what happens, Shane, when you start realizing that some of these guys, their toxic relationships are with loved ones?
Yeah, it's tough. And we always talk about the investment piece regarding relationships, regardless if it's a friendship, it's a romantic relationship, family, whatever it might be.
Totally.
You know, you both have to invest into that that little bucket there to be coercive to, you know, maintain a relationship essentially.
Right.
Right. So when we're talking about someone who's struggling with a toxic family member,
mm-hmm.
that might be the toughest of all.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's a little bit different. Like with a spouse, it's just like, yeah, I love this person. Like I'm going to break up with them, or, you know,
yeah.
or maybe if this is a girlfriend or whatever, or even a friend, you can just dump, you know, and be like, you know what, this isn't working. I don't want to hang out with this guy anymore. Right?
Yeah. And our direction always is try to resolve the situation. But to be honest, there are situations where a resolve is impossible.
Right.
Right. So
when is the right time to walk away? Right?
When is the right time to walk away? If you should walk away at all, or should you rekindle the relationship, or what do you want
to
get out of it?
Talk to the person. Are
yeah.
they receiving what you're saying? Are they just ignoring you, manipulating you? Are they a narcissist?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big one, right? A lot of people forget that, you know, narcissism is a legitimate mental illness, and you know, it's unfortunate for you and that other person, but at the same time, you got to take care of your mental health.
Yeah. Absolutely. And understanding that, you know, a conversation we had tonight, actually, this individual realized, like I tried to help them realize, I don't know if I did, but I spoke on the behalf of the other side of the story. And I got a little bit of an insight of how this individual lives their life. And I was like, okay, you got to remember where they're coming from too, why they might be cranky, why they might be upset. They don't have a purpose. They don't have, they're older. They're buried in debt. They're struggling. You can imagine why they might be a little grumpy, why they
right.
might be hard to understand, why they might be hard to talk to, why they might be explosive towards you.
Yeah.
Right. And understanding that, in my opinion, makes it a lot easier to cope.
It makes it easier to understand.
100%.
Right? But like we talk about comprehension, right?
Yeah.
It's something I was actually talking with a teacher recently, and it's something they don't teach in school, right? It's the understanding is a part of that is empathy and when you have the empathy and the comprehension of the empathy, right? You know, what are you trying to truly understand? Do you understand it from a knowledge point of view or a fact point of view, or do you truly understand the ins and outs of, you know, conversations with people, relationships with friends, relationships with your family? What do these things mean? And it sometimes takes a literal lifetime to figure out relationships with whether it's a father or mother or a brother or sister. And then what I noticed for me, it was like, and my brother might be listening to this, but like for a long time, I almost felt like my brother resented me. And it was like, oh no, he's just growing up, man.
Yeah.
Like he's starting a family. He's getting engaged. He has a kid on the way.
He's got
a career. He lives
yeah.
in another city. Oh yeah. He's just living life. Right.
But it's hard to kind of remove yourself from that because obviously I grew up with you too, at least in high school.
Right.
And I knew the relationship you guys had. You guys were very close. You guys were best friends. And, you know, it might have felt like you lost a best friend at the time when he kind of branched off and he's your little brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So he's not coming to you for advice.
Yeah,
you know,
you already have done the move out of city and have the girlfriends and you know, having starting your family and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still coming to you.
Yeah.
And then you just, it was hard to realize that.
Totally.
That was his path.
Totally. And it's the opposite, right? So if you have a person who's, in this case, you know, when we talk about toxic people, well, when you've had a whole lifetime of toxicity, the same thing still applies.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, well, maybe this person will like me if I do X, Y, and Z. Maybe this person will appreciate what I do for them. And then years and years of abuse and manipulation and toxicity go by, and it's the same shit over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, when do you cut that cord?
Yeah, it's, and for someone that's all they've ever known, how would they know when to cut the cord?
Well, it turns into Stockholm syndrome, right?
Yeah, it turns into, this is just how everyone's treated. This is how life is. This is just the cards that were dealt to me.
Yeah, or this is how this person's always treated me. So he's never going to change. I just got to accept that.
And that is a conversation that we had tonight. And I was like, you don't have to accept that.
You don't. You really don't.
You don't have to stoop down to that level.
Totally.
You don't have to take the abuse. You don't have to take...
Mm-hmm.
anything directed towards you that you don't deserve.
The second it starts affecting your mental health, is that is when you have to, this is what I talked to my wife about, because she's starting a new job, and I said,
yes, congratulations, Mel, if you're listening.
Yeah, so Mel is starting off as a student counselor at a high school, and I said, you don't have to be mean with these kids, but you have to set expectations.
Firm but fair.
Yeah, and you have to be the person that doesn't tolerate any less than your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens, like in the situation we're talking about here with Pierre. This person hasn't set expectations or boundaries.
Yep.
And now this other person, who's a toxic person in this conversation, when you give somebody with narcissism or a sociopath an inch, they're going to take a mile every time. Especially when it comes to your feelings or what you're willing to do for them. So in this situation, it's you haven't set boundaries and expectations, and you tolerate that negative behavior. You tolerate the manipulation,
mm-hmm.
and you let it build up and over and over and over again until it feels like it's resentment and hate inside of you.
Yeah, one of the best pieces of advice that I have ever received that I implement in almost every part of my life is it's a lot easier to go in firm and let your foot off the gas
yeah.
a little bit than come in trying to be a buddy. And then once you realize that doesn't work.
You taught me that.
Yeah.
You taught me that.
Yeah, when you realize that doesn't work, it's a lot harder to go back to the firm part when they already perceive you as one way.
Dude, and you know, we talked recently about coaches, right? And mentors and
yeah.
taking advice from people. That was one of the best pieces of advice in business that you gave me about life
mm-hmm.
was, you know, how about instead of thinking the best out of everyone, how about approach everyone as if they're out to get you?
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing.
No.
You're setting those boundaries and expectations immediately.
Yeah.
And once you start setting those boundaries and expectations immediately, and you hold people to that higher standard, now they're up here.
Mm-hmm.
Now if they go any lower, you can let them know.
And that's on them.
And that doesn't, whether that's the way the piece person speaks to you, whether the way they treat you, what they do to you,
yeah.
how they react to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing that I noticed when I started taking that advice. I'm a very brash guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very straightforward, especially in my business life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very respectful for my clients. But if I want to accomplish something, I go get it done. I'm very brash with my kids. I'm very brash with my wife. And it's not a bad thing. She understands it. Actually, she understands it more than anybody. But what it did was it allowed me to be myself, because it's like, oh, I'm not going to sugarcoat myself just so you can feel better about yourself.
Yeah. What does that help you?
Right. So if you're willing to, oh, this guy's intense and
mm-hmm.
he might be, but oh, and you start talking to him, he's well-spoken and he's actually a really nice guy. He just comes off very strong and aggressive.
Yeah.
That's me to a T, man.
Right.
That's me to a T every time. And the second you start talking to me, you kind of slide in really easily, right?
Yeah.
But with this situation we're talking about in Pierre, the advice that we gave was very similar, because he talked to us on Sunday and he talked to us again tonight.
Yeah.
And what it is when, and this is something that I've talked to Mel about, and we've discussed about trauma
mm-hmm.
and we have conversations about mental health outside of the inner man. And one of the things that I talk to her about and she talks to me about is, if you get triggered, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But it's not somebody else's fault if you get triggered.
No.
That's on you.
That's on you.
Right? So, and what I'm going to tie into here is, so it's our responsibility if we get triggered. It's nobody else's responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's our responsibility the way we react, because that person has no idea what we're thinking, no idea what we experience and how we've experienced it. The same can be said about allowing that person to, over years and years and years, to continuously manipulate you. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's your responsibility to put your foot down, mm-hmm. because he's just going to keep doing it. That person who's toxic and a sociopath and narcissistic is going to do what they do best, and that is be that person.
Yeah, they're going to manipulate you every way to Sunday.
So when is it that person's responsibility to look after their mental health?
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
But you frame it like that, and you're like, oh, right. And now they start looking at it differently.
You hope they do.
Well, they hope they do, but your hope is that you realize that you're being the victim yourself in this situation, because you're allowing it to happen.
Yeah, and you're waiting for someone to come save you, but the sad reality, well, not the sad reality, the actual reality of it is...
The actual sad reality.
Is no one's coming to save
you. No one.
And honestly, not honestly, but no one actually cares that you're triggered. Realistically, no one cares.
No, nobody really cares, because here's like, we were talking about triggers, the same conversation with Mel. It's just like, you could say hello in a different way.
Totally.
And it could trigger you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just like, there's some things.
With no knowledge of the fact that you're triggered.
Dude, my grandmother, this is a crazy story. My grandmother pulled me aside one Christmas, and she's just like, please don't do this anymore. And all I did was say goodbye to the family. I put my hand up like this. Mm-hmm. And it triggered her to think about how she was raised and what she had seen growing up. You're talking about a woman who was forced out of Austria.
Raised during
World War II,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, this is like the devil. And all I did was wave bye to the family. And I put my hand up. Hey, guys, see you later, right? And oh, my goodness. And she wasn't hurt by it. She just let me know, like, hey, watch what you're doing around me, right?
And see, like, that's the key. Mm-hmm. She is taking control of her triggers. Mm-hmm. She is letting you know.
Right.
She's not just letting it bother her and continue to let that behavior happen.
And she's understanding also, this is an 84-year-old woman. She's understood at the time, she's almost 90 now. She also understands too that there was no harm intention. I was waving to people in the back of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But it also recognized that this was harmful towards her.
It was like a flashback for her, right?
See, and, you know, kudos to her, especially with the decade that she was raised in. Mm-hmm. The generation that she was raised in.
It was a long decades ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a few decades. But how she handled the situation was the exact correct way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recognizing what the person was doing as mm-hmm. what it was,
totally.
But also recognizing that it bothered her, and she spoke up about it.
Yeah, and she had no problem being like, hey, like, watch yourself, man.
And that's
like,
just a conversation.
Yeah, and it was a simple conversation. So, yeah, I guess the benefit of debriefing these peer sessions is like, we take a lot away from these peer sessions, and I like talking about it because it's a really good topic. We talk about it all the time, and I purposefully didn't talk about my peer sessions with you a whole lot this week because it's nice to have these conversations for the podcast, right?
Yeah. The biggest thing that I've realized doing these peer sessions over the the last little bit,
figured out,
is understanding what the problem is.
Right.
Not understanding why you're reacting, mm-hmm. but getting to the root of the problem.
Right.
This is why you're there.
Yeah.
This is why you feel this way. Mm-hmm. And now that you can understand it, that's when you can start mm-hmm. making the change.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or deciding that you just like to live there and that's where you are and you need more time.
Well, and we'll get into just one of the questions today in the Q&A, but it really comes down to, it's a comfort thing.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Comfortable being in this position. So first question, man, and I'll ask you this because I asked you this beforehand and you were going to think about it. So I hope you've thought about it. Question one, again, these are questions. So all three of these questions have actually come through the forum this time around. There were some questions that were put up on the Instagram, a couple questions that were put up on Twitter, but I like these three. And all three of these guys reached out to me anonymously. For those of you that are in the private forum, there is an anonymous button now.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's more comfortable for you to reach out to us, do that. But it's exactly the same thing, regardless. So if you can't find it or whatever, still reach out to Dylan and I, and we have no problem doing it. But there is an anonymous button. So if that's the route you want to go, it's yours
for sure. And anytime you guys have a question like this, we will answer it on the podcast.
Totally.
So whether it's in the post that we put up for the AMAs or if you're just posting a question in the group, just let us know. So question one, Shane, is my sister is dating a guy with autism. He struggles with male friendships and relationships because of his past and childhood traumas. He also has mentioned not getting along with men due to toxic masculinity, quote unquote. He has stated that I look, quote unquote, toxic. I'm a heavy duty mechanic. I lift. I'm over 6 feet tall. He's much smaller than I am. He's much smaller in frame. He also has an eating disorder. My question is, how do I connect with him and how do I help him as a male role model?
Few routes we can go with this one.
Well, it's dissected, man, because there's a few things we can touch on.
So I'm going to go off the first sentence that you started on. So understanding what autism is and how to basically, the more that you research what autism is and the more that you understand it, the better you're going to understand where this individual is coming from.
Totally.
Because autism is a very functional, it's a very functional part of life for a lot of people. It's generally...
Well, especially with the spectrum, you can be high functioning.
Definitely.
You could find people who are mutes, right? It's just, there's a huge
definitely,
wave of it, right?
Like, there's a few people in my family that have autism that you would never know.
Yeah.
You know, and just a few little things, little tics that, someone didn't tell me. A
couple decades ago, it was called Asperger's, right?
That's right.
This is part of the spectrum now.
So it's maybe not even part of the equation.
So I'm assuming, I think it is a part of the equation because I'm assuming he's high functioning.
Yeah.
So if he's dating somebody and
he
lives on his own and all that, I'm assuming he's a high functioning kid with autism.
So that's number one, understanding what it is. Do some research, get online, talk to people, talk to him.
So why is this important in this situation?
Understanding what autism is.
Yeah.
Just because it could be whatever you are doing that you might understand it being toxic, that could just be a trigger for him.
Well, and here's my thing. It's just like, what if the way you're approaching it is 100% not what he likes?
100%.
Right? So what I would do with somebody with autism, because a lot of times people with autism, they circle in different things, right? They zone in on different things, whether it, would be, building models or collecting collectibles or, getting into video games or, anything of that nature. Find out what their passion and their hobbies are and their interests are and get on that level, right?
I was just writing that down.
All right.
Get
on his level and start doing things he likes, I can imagine, the first thing you're going to think of is, tell him to take me to the gym. Go do some archery, do jiu-jitsu with him, go for a run. It's like, well, no, you gotta build rapport with him first, right?
Yeah, show that you can be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Show him that you are willing to take interest in his hobbies and what he likes. And with the expectation, don't get me wrong, this isn't something that it's a one-way street.
Mm-hmm.
Make a deal with him. Totally. Hey, if I do this with you, would you be willing to take part in this?
Totally.
And if you don't like it, that's fine. If I don't like it, it's fine. We'll try something else that we like.
Well, that's building a relationship.
Yeah.
And so I want to get into the toxic masculinity thing.
This is all rapport building. This is all important. It's all pertinent. And this is all going to tie in together, right?
So his version of toxic masculinity is an alpha male asshole.
Right.
Because if he has autism, he has an eating disorder, and he finds males so over 6 feet tall toxic,
right,
he's most likely been bullied.
There's a potential for that.
There's a huge potential for that.
Yeah.
Whether it was in school or in sports or even as an adult, family, right? So my thing with that is what is toxic masculinity?
I don't know, what is it?
Being an asshole.
Yeah.
Right. So I can take my aggressive 6 foot 280 pound frame and be super aggressive to people and get my way.
Stand over top of people.
I would get a lot of my shit done, right? If I just am aggressive to everybody.
Where'd you go?
Well, it depends on what I want to get done, right? Yeah. So I would get my way a lot of ways in a physical way.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said,
I
can be very imposing. So what you have to do is you have to show him that, not every 6 foot tall guy who lifts weights and is a mechanic is an asshole.
Right. Give Ted, for example, one of our board members.
Totally. Yeah.
Ted is a... He has weird hobbies. Mm-hmm. We love this guy to death.
For his physical stature, for sure.
So, physical stature.
He's 6'1".
6'1", 270.
Yeah.
Bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. Working towards getting that physique that he wants. He's getting big. He's getting lean. He's getting mean.
Yeah.
He also likes D&D.
Yeah.
He also likes to bike.
Yeah. He has a motorcycle.
He likes to ride.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really like sports.
Right.
Like, he is just all over the map. And if what I don't know what the definition of toxic masculinity is, because you could go any which way around with Ted.
He looks the part. Yeah.
He looks the part.
Yeah.
You know, and bald, big beard, and he looks like a biker guy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Big and burly.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And then you talk to him for 10 minutes, and you're like, what?
Yeah, he has a 12 pound Pomeranian that is his baby.
Yeah.
Treats him like his baby.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
And this is what we love about him, but like, this is all perception. This is all what there's a potential if this individual that we're talking about sees someone like Ted, oh, that guy's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to know him, and you're like, that's not Ted at all.
He is the farthest thing from
the least toxic guy I know. So perception is very important, and that's up to you if you want to build that relationship to give that perception to him that that's not who you are.
Yeah, and ask him what he thinks what toxic masculinity is.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing that I notice is most of the things that people say about toxic masculinity are very positive traits in men.
Totally.
Being a traditionalist in terms of family and being a role model for your wife and your kids, those are all very positive things. Being a strong-willed human being, you want to be the guy at your father's funeral who is able to control his emotions and help other people.
Right.
That's a strong trait. But what society has done and the media has done is they flipped it. And they said, there's hierarchies and there's this and there's that. And made it look like men are a bad thing. And,
right.
And being a robust man with a strong will and here's the thing. Show him that part of being a robust alpha male is being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Show him that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like tell him, I had a bad day, man. You want to talk to me about it?
Yeah, I think showing the vulnerability is a big piece of this and just showing him like, hey, I'm a human too.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what my size or what I look like, that's not who I am.
Because here's the thing, when you start building that rapport like we're talking about through the mental side of it and the emotional side of it, and then one day you call him up and you're like, dude, let's go to the archery range.
Yes.
Let's go to the gun range.
Yeah.
Want to come try kickboxing with me?
Yeah.
He might be like, hell no. Or he might be like, hey, man, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's time for me to try something new.
Yeah.
And frame it like that. He's like, hey, man, I was going to do this, but I wanted to call you first because I knew it's something new to you. And it might be a little bit out of your comfort zone, but what the hell? It's both out of our comfort zones.
Yeah. And I do want to say the way that you frame this question, whoever this anonymous individual is, we can tell you genuinely care.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to you for that. And, actually putting yourself vulnerable by asking this question. I know we don't name names and we don't really know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is, you don't have to do this.
No.
If you didn't care, you didn't have to frame this question. You didn't have to ask it. So,
mm-hmm.
You're part of the solution. So we thank you for that.
Totally, man. Totally. We'll do number three here next is, it was a vague question. It was from one of our gentlemen from the workshop. How does one get comfortable with the uncomfortable in life?
You don't. This is why it's called being uncomfortable.
So there's a few things that I'll discuss on this part. Going to the gym. Listen, man, when you're sweating your bag off and you got 200 pounds in the bar and you got your partner yelling at you, you got two more sets, come on, five more reps, three more reps, that shit is uncomfortable.
Very much so.
When I make you squat ass to grass for 10 reps with 200, 300 pounds on your back, that shit hurts.
A lot.
Right. And so, and then the side effects of lifting like that are you're sore for a few days. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, now you're getting bigger and shirts aren't fitting and pants aren't fitting. Now you're uncomfortable. Like, just lifting weights alone has taught me how to be comfortable with the uncomfortable.
And I got a little subtle break here. Mm-hmm. I was telling you this yesterday. Right now is the first time since high school that I have fit in a size 32.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
So I'm really proud of myself.
Have you always been like a big hipped guy? Like,
no.
Big waist? No.
No. That just comes from, you know, abusing myself in my college years, you know, drinking too much, and I'll
just bad habits.
Fully admit it, and you know, living off of McDonald's and ramen noodles.
Yeah, man.
So, didn't take care of myself, and it, you know, it reflected.
And it catches up, man.
It does, and you know, it's that getting uncomfortable, knowing the next day that I was gonna suffer and be in pain, but that's no longer a sufferer. I've changed that mindset to, I didn't do a hard enough workout if I don't feel like that anymore.
Totally, man.
And I want that. I want to chase that drag, and I want to chase that feeling of like, oh, I'm sore shit. That means I'm growing. That means I'm getting better.
And here's the thing, man. We're talking about lifting weights, but this can be anything that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Do something every single day that you know is out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Could be anything.
Yeah. Could be talking to people.
Could be talking to a girl that you wanted to for the first time.
Yeah. And
is it hard?
Let's talk about that for a minute, right? Yeah. It's just like we noticed that seems to be a reoccurring thing for a lot of guys,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They have trouble speaking to women. Why is it a trouble speaking to women? You speak to men, no problem.
Yeah.
Why don't you? Is it every single woman you talk to you have a sexual attraction to and you get? Well, no.
We know that's not the case.
We know that's not the case. And just for the females listening, that's not the case.
We
don't look at every single female like they're a piece of meat,
no.
contrary to popular belief in the social media. But I think a lot of it has to come with confidence.
Yeah.
Right? So when you are comfortable with something, it means you're confident with it. So if you're comfortable watching Netflix instead of going for a run, that means you're confident that Netflix is your safe zone.
Yeah.
So my safe zone, like, here's a great thing. I've been telling you, I've been running once a week.
Yeah.
And I do this because it's super uncomfortable being over 260 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? I was telling you, I felt like a rhinoceros walking around down the street. But, like, I enjoy the pain and the burning in my lungs. It makes me feel alive. But here's the thing. I know that it's only going to benefit my health.
Totally. And I guess a small thing I'll share too is I never thought of this being an opportunity for me, but I'm looking to transition into politics.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. So we're not really sure exactly the route I'm going to go at this point.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is something that is very foreign and unknown to me.
Right.
But I know I have the strength and the ideas and the knowledge and the workhorse attitude
mm-hmm.
that I can make a change.
Right.
I just have to learn more about
so
the system.
And now how does that work? Right. So now what we take a look at is what is politics? It's service of the community and leadership. So now you're going to get really uncomfortable
yep.
for the next 4, 6, or 2, whatever amount of years it is, of putting yourself in a position of learning everything you can about leadership, learning everything you can about people, learning everything about your community.
Attending city council meetings, mm-hmm. asking hard questions to people that I don't know.
Right.
Being as much as people might not know this about me, I struggle with talking
mm-hmm.
in public. And
that's one of the things I was going to say. Good out in public speaking.
Yeah, and you know, we've done lots of interviews and stuff like that, but that's on knowledge that I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to talk about stuff you know.
Totally.
This isn't uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
to me anymore.
Right. Anymore.
Anymore.
But
it was.
We're episode 42.
For the people that are new listeners, and I talk about this all the time,
mm-hmm.
you want to talk about uncomfortable and awkward and weirdness, go check out, the first 10, 15 of myself. Dylan's done it for a long time, and he's great
mm-hmm.
at it. You know, I struggled,
mm-hmm.
And I was terrible at it, and I have improved, and I'm still going to continue to improve. I'm not where I want to be at it.
Right.
But I am much better than I was when I first started. And
totally.
I can say that with conviction. but that was a very uncomfortable time.
It's a transition.
It's a transition.
Everything's a transition because now you're in the baby phases, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now you're what? You're 40 podcasts deep.
Yeah, and that's still minimum. So
that's
not
totally,
a lot.
Totally. So I'm over 150 podcasts deep at this point.
Yeah.
So just in podcast experience, I'm three times ahead of you.
Yeah.
And guess what? That takes time. That takes effort. That takes learning how to speak. Don't say Watch what you're saying, how you're saying it. Are you coming off? Like, I could sit here and just talk like this all episode long and just read off a piece of paper. Or I can be my authentic self and say once in a while.
Yeah.
But if I'm sitting in front of a camera by myself, I don't want to be saying all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So now you learn how to angle the cameras and talk into the mic and how to speak and... That's just podcasting.
Yeah.
That's all the topic we're talking about right now.
Yeah. And then
right?
you start adding expectations of yourself.
Right.
That is something that I always do. So
engagement, listening.
Some would also call that goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be better at it.
Mm-hmm.
So every single episode I haven't done it in a while, but I used to listen to everything that I've done, that I've said, that I've mentioned
mm-hmm.
on my podcast. I was like, okay, this is where I struggled. This is where I'll try to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that recently because I hate the sound of my voice. But I just know I'm not uncomfortable as much.
Totally.
And it's in a lot easier. So I just think doing it with experience and speaking with conviction and being my authentic self.
For sure.
Is going to improve.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you take this and you say, you apply what we've done with podcasting and lifting weights. Now you apply that to... Okay, so now if I'm going to be running for politics, what does that mean? I got to be out in the community. So what do I need to do to volunteer? Well, we're doing the interview.
We're doing the interview.
So that's great. So now what we do is we get in front of the spotlight. We start asking to do interviews with the radio stations. So we get out into the community, actually going door to door and introducing yourself and saying, I want to have a 5 to 10 minute conversation about the issues that you see in our city, and willing to do that for 6-9 months on end, nonstop.
That's a lost art too. I don't think many people do that anymore.
Right. I've been talking to a few city council members and they've been doing it, and they literally said, people are saying exactly that, Shane.
Yeah.
No one does this anymore.
And
why
how
is
uncomfortable
that?
Is that?
Why is that?
Because it's uncomfortable.
Well, here's something to think about when it comes to the whole politics situation. Why is every single city councilman only have 1 to 300 people following them on social media?
Right.
You have social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
all
day long, that's all I would be talking about is issues in our community and how we can help solve it.
Look at our platform.
And be it, dude, that's all we talk about.
Yeah.
That's all we talk about, right? So there's always a way. We're getting a little off track here, but this is good because we're tying it in. Is everything that Shane and I are talking about, we were uncomfortable at one point in time.
Yeah.
And so it just takes time. It takes effort and putting yourself. Do not be afraid to put yourself in a situation where, you know what, I'm going to probably fall flat on my face right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to fail next episode and the episode after that. And then, an episode where I didn't do so bad, I just stumbled a little bit.
Keep showing up,
man. That's 90% of the battle.
And what's the reward of continuing on and putting in that effort?
Mm-hmm.
Building confidence.
And here's the thing, man. It doesn't matter if you have one person listening or 1 million people listening. If somebody's listening, somebody's going to take something away from what you're talking about. So that's the benefit of running the podcast is this might be just practice for your public speaking. Or it could be a practice for a DJ career I never thought of.
Whatever.
Right?
You never know where your interest will go in the future.
Totally. So now you apply that to things like, okay, I'm uncomfortable with this girl. If I just go talk to like 30 girls this week without any attentions, now I might be better at talking to women.
Totally. It's practice.
It's practice. And we're not talking about like asking a girl for coffee. Literally say hi to old Susie working at Safeway.
Do you know what's really hard to do and is kind of a lost art? People don't like to do it anymore is small conversations.
Dude.
No, everyone hates it.
You know what else is a lost art that I started doing is if I see somebody with a name tag, I say thank you and say their name.
Yeah, and that goes a long way.
Dude.
That's a huge
fucking response people give me. I now have two spots that I go to in Medicine Hat for snacks.
Snacks.
And... three people from two of the locations know me by name.
Yeah.
Because they were like, hey, what's your name, by the way? Because
mm-hmm.
I always call them by their, thanks, Chance.
Yeah.
Thanks, Molly.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Oh yeah, I'm wearing a name tag.
How do you? Oh,
because I gave them, I gave a shit enough for 2 seconds to look at their name tag.
You gave them respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that goes such a long way. So, just in normal conversations, if you're talking to a friend or whoever, a family member, throw in their name.
Yep.
In mid conversation, just know that you know that.
Yeah, you know, Shane. I was thinking.
Yeah,
and just go with it. Right?
That engages a conversation probably 50% than what would have happened if you did.
Mm-hmm. And as for other things, like maybe it's hobbies or interests, it's about just getting started.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've listened to probably, I don't know, 10,000 different episodes of podcasts. I've listened to well over 100 audiobooks at this point. I've learned how to speak, and I've done at this point probably 50, 60 different public speaking events in my lifetime. So I've learned how to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you count on all the client meetings on top of that. Talking to people is nothing for me.
Yeah.
Staying engaged with people is nothing to
mm-hmm.
me, especially if it's something that I'm passionate about or they're passionate about.
Right.
We're going to have the conversation.
You're a student of your interests.
Dude, I can tell you the very first day I started doing sales, I walk into my old employer at the gym. The very first gym I ever got a job at was World Health. It's not around anymore up in Edmonton. And
probably because he left, right?
Actually, it was Calgary. yes, it totally did. As soon as myself and Colin DeWolf actually was at the same gym. Yeah. But anyways, I remember sitting down, and they're like, here, you got a list of people to call. Here's the script. And I'm like, dude, the script was in front of me, word for word. Hello, my name is blank, and it left a blank, Dylan. I'm calling from World Health. You have, and it would another blank, sessions left on your account, 10, 12. I was wondering if you'd like to book a free consultation on the blank date. How does that sound? That was the script.
Yeah.
I can tell you it word for word.
Yeah.
And it was like pulling teeth to try and get me to phone people because it was so foreign to me and so uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember the very first week I called 5 people out of 100. And now if you sat me down with 100 people to call, I'd have it banged out in an hour.
Yeah.
I really would.
Yeah.
Because I like, if you say no to me, what's you saying no to me means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
You saying yes, it's like, oh, there's an opportunity.
Totally. Totally. And this is going to sound power trippy, and that's not really what I'm trying to get at.
Hey, we're robust, toxic, masculine men.
At work, I used to be afraid of, you know, individuals I know that would come in with confrontation. Because
mm-hmm.
it was like, I don't know how this is going to go. I wasn't really confident in my abilities.
Totally.
And
it's a hostile job.
It's a very hostile.
It can be very hostile.
Yeah, yeah. But now when I, you know, when I see that an individual where I know it always comes in,
mm-hmm.
it's a welcome conversation. Because one, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I have to diffuse a situation of someone that's already upset before they even sit down in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
They're mad that they're there.
Totally.
So that's number one. It's like, okay, I got to diffuse the situation with them. And I'm already game planning and I'm formulating
mm-hmm.
my plan of how to do that. And, you know, the minute that goes out the window and then it gets escalated because I, you know, said the wrong thing or whatever
yep.
might happen, then I have to diffuse the next problem.
Totally.
I'm confident in my abilities of how to diffuse a situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident how I can use my verbal judo to deflect,
mm-hmm.
to not take what they said to me personally,
right.
to not get to their level, to rise to their
right.
anger, to their frustrations, or whatever.
Because they're pissed off, they're triggered, they're everything else.
I realize and learn that it's not me that they're mad at.
It's everything else.
It's everything else. Sometimes they're mad at me because I tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's...
So again, they're just... It's a personal...
They understand it's not coming from Shane, the individual. It's coming
yeah.
from the system.
Yeah.
And that's...
You're just the vehicle for the caveat, or instead of using the word right, the vehicle for your message.
Yeah, well, and like learning how to frame what I say
right.
gears them towards that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, he's making me realize this is just, he's following, he's doing his job and he's following, and he's going to follow through on what he says he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you the expectations and the groundwork of exactly how this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You agreed to it. You're not following through.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this goes through like recently I started applying this to my life, was like, I can sit here all day and tell my wife I'm proud of her. Mm. She's literally used to me hearing that, yeah. Right? But then I was like, how do I explain to her how proud I am? Mm. Well, I explained to her because, like, for an example, I'm super proud of my wife. I'm gonna, get some brownie points on this. Maybe,
pump some tires.
I'm gonna pump some tires here. But like, over the last year, she's juggled a house full of four kids, school with the kids, homework with the kids, then her own homework because she was in school, then daily stuff with the Interman, all while dealing with different family issues.
Oh yeah, she's
a rock star.
Yeah.
I am. I hate to say it to you guys, it's a little bit of an ego kick for me too, but I'm not good with change. Mm-hmm. I struggle with change.
Yeah.
I was very proud of myself in the last six months here with my latest transition to a new career. Mm-hmm. I was really proud of myself because I didn't fall the fuck apart.
Yeah. No, you did great.
And so I was explaining to her, like, listen, I'm not good with change. And I need to frame this in a way that you understand how truly proud I am of you, because what you've been able to accomplish to me is like, we're speaking two different languages here.
Right.
Right. So I don't think you realize how impressive you've been. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give you kudos because you deserve it. And she was like flabbergasted because I was able to frame it a certain way. But if I just went up to her and gave her a hug and a kiss on the cheek and be like, proud of you. Bye. She'd be like, just another day with my husband.
Yeah. Well, and like, another great piece of advice I got from another individual from work was, it's a lot easier for someone to understand what you're trying to say when you explain it. Like, off an example, I guess, when I was working at the Reman, hey, go put on your coveralls. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Why? Hey, can you please go on the cover, put on your coveralls, because one, it's a policy in the center and you're not allowed to do that. Two, your clothes are going to get wrecked. Mm-hmm. And three, these are something that you wear every single day and it's an expectation while you're here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously not every time that's going to be like, okay, and go and change, but it's a lot easier for them to digest that and swallow the information. It's not me saying go do this because I said so, do this because of XYZ.
Well, you see it in like construction, right? Too, yeah. Right. You tell a guy what to go do, and he's just like, it's like, okay, kids, perfect example.
I was gonna say, this is what I do with my kids. Yeah. I explain everything from detail to detail. I had a conversation with my son this morning. He was like, Dad, I was told that kids don't go to jail. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's not true. But I was like, sometimes, behaviors need to be corrected. And if someone makes a bad mistake as a child, they can still go be incarcerated.
Right.
And he was like, but I won't be because I'm a good boy. And I was like, yes, you are a good boy. Mm-hmm. However, I'm trying to teach you.
Let's keep it that way.
That's right. Yeah. No, but I'm teaching you to be on the right side of the law, to be a law-abiding citizen, and the consequences of not following being a law-abiding citizen.
Right?
It's respect for the situation. Explaining that to him as a four-year-old, I didn't do exactly that. I obviously came down to his level and spoke to him the way that I thought was fit, seemed fit to him. He grasped that information a lot more.
You have to be nice so you don't be a bad guy and go to jail.
Right. And I have to say, it's like sometimes Dad has situations mm-hmm. where someone makes a bad mistake mm-hmm. and I get to make that call. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you get to make that call? I don't know, like, what? That's what you do? And I was like, no, my role is to help people. Mm-hmm. I try to help these people. If they don't listen to my advice, if they don't listen to the direction I'm trying to pull them towards, this is the consequence.
Totally.
And when you teach that to them, when I told that to him, he accepted that information so well. And he was like,
right.
Okay, I understand now. If I make a really bad mistake, there is a potential that I get a bad consequence.
Yeah.
And that's really all the lesson I was trying to teach you.
Take your toys away.
Something bad will happen.
Okay, great question, Cade. But it's a little vague. So next time, guys, ask a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
We covered a lot of bases there with that question.
Yeah, yeah.
The last question I'll ask tonight, again, this is another anonymous post, and I'm gonna tackle this one. because I've been on
this fits you.
Yeah, I've been very vocal about this because I believe that this is a topic that many young people get into and they take the wrong advice. So what are the side effects, good or bad, of steroids and how they affect the mental health for greater or for worse? Okay, so there's two things that we need to talk about here. Is the first one is hormones in general, mm-hmm. and then the next one is the performance enhancing side of things. So what I can tell you is there's no long-term studies that have ever been done with performance enhancing drugs, none whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There's been long-term studies with human growth hormone, TRT, HRT, but that's at levels that are not exogenous or amplified. Right. These are at levels of what the human body is supposed to produce. We don't know the long-term side effects. Now, what I can tell you is I can give you some, and I'm gonna, this is very complicated stuff, so I'm gonna try and break this down as easy as possible. So our bodies, men and women, basically there's estrogen and testosterone. And men are usually higher in testosterone, lower in estrogen, and women are usually higher in estrogen and lower in testosterone.
Yeah.
Now, what's important to remember though is men need a little bit of estrogen to counterbalance so we can produce libido.
Right.
Now, what I can tell you is side effects from steroids is when you take enough exogenous hormones and performance-enhancing drugs, what it does is it tells your body and your testes to turn off the production of testosterone. Mm-hmm. So when that turns off, the hormones that you're injecting or taking end up replacing that. What ends up happening is it's irregulated. So when you stop taking it, it plummets to the ground.
Right.
So now you're dealing with things like insomnia, lack of sleep, acne, every bad side effect.
That loss of libido.
Here's where the loss of libido comes, is when that testosterone crashes, the estrogen naturally goes up.
Right.
So it replaces it. So then you have to deal with things like gynecomastia, lactating nipples. You have to deal with the loss. Yeah, man boobs. You have to deal with the loss of your testes in the meantime. So there's an array of different things. So insomnia is one of the big side effects that I did when I was abusing steroids. I'd be up for, sometimes when I was cycling, I'd be up for days. And I felt like I would just get by on naps. I felt like Superman.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is when I came off of it and the testosterone plummeted, I'd want to sleep all day.
Right. So if you feel comfortable,
I can tell you anything.
Why don't you tell the story of how your mental health really came crashing down due to abusing steroids and amongst other things, obviously.
Totally. So one of the things that taking exogenous performance enhancing drugs do is it creates, I call it the Superman complex. And the reason it creates the Superman complex, and this is firsthand experience, guys. And like I said, I'm going to try and bring this down to a level everyone can understand, and I'm not throwing jargon around. But basically, it makes you recover a million times faster than everybody else.
Right.
So when I'm busting ass in the gym, within a couple hours, I'm feeling better already.
Yeah.
So I want to go back.
Yeah.
And so when you're training 3-4 hours a day and doing 2 hours of cardio every day, and you realize that you're in the gym for 6 hours, what ended up happening was I ended up abusing prescription pills because my body was so fatigued and I was so injured all the time. And when you're using this, so there's a couple things to understand here why I did that. When you take performance enhancing drugs, it magnifies everything. Your mindset, your libido, your recovery, your strength, everything is elevated. When that starts going up and down, it's no good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ends up happening. So
hormone imbalance.
Right? Yeah. So I want you to imagine when you are coming off a heavy cycle. When I say a heavy cycle, I was upwards of 3-4 grams a day of different steroids. When you are doing heavy cycles like that, you're in for a real treat when it comes to post cycle. Depression, sleeping all day, fatigue, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. These things are a very high potential of happening,
right,
if you do not regulate it. And
how long were you on your cycle in a row before everything started coming crashing down?
From 21 till 24.
So that's 3 years of constant cycling.
Yeah.
How bad is that for your body? With no breaks in between.
It's probably the worst thing that you can do. Because I'll be on testosterone replacement therapy the rest of my life. There's no way I can't be.
Just burned everything
up. Yeah. There's no way I can't be. And here's the thing, too, is 99% of clinics do not give it to you properly. So if you get an injection with TRT, you go in every 10 days or they give you the testosterone every 10 days. That's actually not how you're supposed to take it. You're supposed to take it in small amounts every day or every other day. That's the way your body produces testosterone. I know for a fact that I'm going to have to be on TRT the rest of my life.
Yeah. Just to have normal cycling.
Anywhere from, you know, 80 to 100 milligrams every day. Yeah, has to. But that ruined me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I was going to have kids again. I know my sperm count was low at one point in time because I had it tested. These are all things that happen between the ages of 21 and 24.
Mm-hmm. Which is a very young man.
Yeah. I mean,
potentially almost ruined your chest health.
And from 21, so 2013 and 2014, 2015 is when shit started to go really south for me. And it was because of a coach, Matt Porter, rest in peace. He's passed away 2 years ago, 3 years ago now. He actually was the one that said, you need to go get your shit checked.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the doctor and he's like, you need to come off everything for 8 to 12 weeks. And I did. I felt like garbage. I was depressed. I was suicidal. I was anxious. I was having trouble sleeping. I was having trouble staying awake. I couldn't eat anything.
Did you feel like dope sick?
No. The best way to... I want you to imagine what it feels like when, like, it's almost like you have the flu all the time.
Right.
But you don't have the sniffles and you're not shitting your pants.
Yeah, you're just, you know, muscles are achy, you're just lethargic, can't, you know, mopey.
Head hurts all the time.
And then you're, you know, that comes with the psychological warfare.
You look at a cheeseburger, you gain 10 pounds because your estrogen's through the roof and no man should ever have estrogen to have, maybe not even women. And then that comes crashing down and then your hormones are all over the place. It was hell on wheels, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was not a fun time. And I went in to the doctor. I went into a clinic and I got my blood work done. And it was just some random clinic. Got my blood work back. And my blood work was like, it was like a 9. It was like that of like a little girl.
And what's normal?
I believe in Canada, it's between 76 and 300.
So that's a very...
I can fact check that.
Very out of balance there.
I might be off with my numbers just because the Canadian and the...
What am I looking for?
Normal testosterone ranges Canada. Double check that because I believe my numbers are correct there. I might be a little off. But anyways, mine were 9. And I dealt with a lot of issues.
Between 300 and 1,000 nanograms.
That's in the States, yeah. So that's going to be United States. Canada is actually, they do it a little bit differently.
In Canada.
Yeah, it'll actually give you a range there.
270 to 1,070.
Okay. So, mine was quite significantly lower.
9.
mine was 9.
That was 9, yeah.
So I don't know where I got the 70 from. I'll have to check my numbers on that. But anyways, what I can tell you was it took me, so from when I was 24 till I was 26, I dealt with that recovery. And in the meantime, I had done another cycle.
Yeah.
So I never got the full effects of the recovery. It wasn't until 2018 where I hung up my trunks the last time and I said, I'm done. I need to get my health right. I was having stomach issues. I was diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome from all the food that I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, performance enhancing drugs, it sounds horrible, but what I can tell you based on actual science is do not take exogenous hormones unless you actually go to a TRT clinic or a doctor who is specialized in this.
Yeah.
It's the only advice I would give you. Don't start hijacking your endocrine system just for the fuck of it.
Yeah.
Because you'll end up like me. I literally have to take this stuff the rest of my life. Now, what I can say, if you were to dabble hypothetically into steroids, low amounts at all costs,
mm-hmm.
the smallest amounts that you can do in a shortest amount of time. So if you were to start taking testosterone or decadurobolin or Winstrol, these are just a couple different performance enhancing drugs you could take. You would want to take them in the smallest amounts possible from anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks, and then you'd want to get doctor's advice on doing a post-cycle therapy. The reason I'm saying this is because in Canada you can legally take steroids. It is, you can legally take them.
You are, yeah, it's kind of and he's right, you can
can't sell them
and you can't possess them.
Well,
you can
possess them up to a certain amount. So if I had a personal amount, just like if I had like a crate of whiskey on me, they're gonna think I'm gonna sell this and bootleg it, right?
Yeah. So like, say it's like marijuana, you got or
yeah, it's actually very it's very similar to the marijuana laws now, except we can buy marijuana at the store.
If you got 30 dime bags,
yeah,
all separated. It's pretty clear what you're doing.
Yeah, but if you got one little pouch of marijuana, that's
obviously personal use.
Yeah, so right. it's kind of the same thing with testosterone and performance enhancing drugs
and prostitution.
apparently. So yeah, if you were to dabble in it, please guys, do research and talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
And as for TRT, this is something that's also pissed me off, is a lot of guys will be like, I'm on TRT, and they're taking 200-300 milligrams of testosterone every week.
Die.
It's just like, oh, you take that for long enough, you're gonna be on TRT, you're gonna need it.
Yeah,
like, that's not TRT. Also, another thing is, guys will say to me, well, I went off cycle and they went off for 4 weeks. It's like, well, no, here's a great example. I recently did a cycle back in March. I documented it. You can go to my Facebook. I talked about it, or my Instagram. And I was on it for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just back on my TRT. And what I can tell you from that 8 weeks is I exploded.
Mm-hmm.
I exploded. I hadn't touched gear in 3 years. And I even, and here's another thing, guys, is I even stopped taking my TRT for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I literally got skinny fat. I developed gynecomastia in my left breast tissue, and I was back to being anxious and depressed. And this guy can tell, can be a witness for it. Since I've been back on my TRT, I haven't had one episode of anxiety or depression.
No, not one.
Not one. So the hormone conversation, and we do have professionals lined up for this conversation. I can't wait to have these guys on, because this is an important one.
Mm-hmm.
Guys neglect their health so much. And when we're talking about testosterone and hormonal imbalances, dude, we're talking about whether you're suicidal or you're making six figures a year and have a happy, beautiful family.
Right.
Because that's how big of a difference it was
totally
for me.
Yeah, if you're not taking care of your health.
Totally.
100%, man. Physical, mental,
mm-hmm.
emotional.
And here's the thing, guys. When everything changes, that if you were taking care of your physical health and you're going to the gym, if you're reading books, if you're having a loving wife, at the age of 25 is when testosterone starts going down.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a slow creep over 50 years and you never need it, or it could be an instant plummet depending
yeah.
on your lifestyle.
You hit a roller coaster that's on the down spot.
Totally, totally. So at 25, start getting your blood work done.
Yep.
Hands down, minimum. It's actually when the frontal cortex stops developing in men, is when you're going to want to start looking into getting your hormones checked.
Yeah. And what's a good indicator that someone's got low T?
So a good indicator of low T is obviously low libido. That's number one. Number two would be sleeping patterns. Are you lethargic during the day? Are you having trouble sleeping at night? Eating patterns. Are you craving more junk food? Do you realize that you're putting on weight a little bit quicker? What is your emotions like? Are you snappy? Are you judgmental? Are you angry all the time? Or do you feel like you want to weep and cry all the time and feel super emotional? These are all these four things. If you start lining them up, if you're eating like shit, you're putting on weight, you feel absolutely no sex drive, you're having shitty sleeping patterns, and you feel snappy or want to cry all the time, go get checked out.
And this is obviously if this isn't a regular part of your life, you know what I mean? Like, if this is a sudden change that you notice that, you know, your behaviors have changed from one direction to the other.
And when that's a good point, because that change could be the span of 6 weeks or it could be the span of 6 months.
Mm.
For me, what it was is like I can start noticing my low T within 3 to 4 months. Mm. And I just would battle through it. And from when my twins were born till well, January of this year, is when I got back on my testosterone.
Yeah.
So third 14 months I went without it.
Yeah.
And it was within 4 months into it, I started noticing it, and by about 8 months into it, I really started getting affected because I was training like a savage, but I was the same size.
Mm-hmm.
I was having troubles losing body fat, and I just didn't feel like myself. And that was another thing, I don't feel like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety and depression kicked in at about a year, and I was like, "Hey, I'm done with this.
Right.
I need to get back on my TRT." And so now with my T levels normal and my blood work normal, I just went in. I had to put the leg cup on my arm. Felt kind of a little eagle kick there, but it was a nice little, "Oh, thanks. I got some big arms." And that's another thing too, is get your blood work done and then get your heart rate and your blood pressure checked. You know, the big guy sitting over here is 118 over 68, and heart rate says 60. So
nice.
Healthy as a horse over here. That's why you want to be, right? So with that being said, Shane, what's your closing thoughts for tonight?
Another good podcast, I think. Another good tie-in. Good questions from the men here. Keep them coming. Like Dylan mentioned at the start of the podcast, don't be afraid to hurt our feelings. You know, throw in some constructive criticism. Show, you know, we want to continuously grow and get better at this, and you're not going to hurt our feelings, I promise you, no matter what you do or say.
Yeah. If anything, we should just say, fuck this guy.
What do you know? We're way smarter. No, just kidding. No. Anything, whether it's good or bad, let us know. We really want to be better, and we really want to make this thing grow.
Yes, and share, like, subscribe to the podcast. With that being said, let's go eat, buddy.
Good night.